Dr. Martire Howard has been one of our frontline medics as far as the vaccination is concerned. Some encouraging signs yesterday with 15 new cases, but it's certainly no time to be complacent. In fact, Mr. Whippy-type vans are still going to be used for the vaccine drive, and there's going to be a half dozen of them heading out towards streets and to communities for those people who might have access issues getting to vaccination centres, or maybe even for those who are just a little bit hesitant in seeing the vaccination buses or vans at the end of the street. Might just be the ticket. Matere is with us today. Tēnā koe, Matere.
I think we've been saying it for ages that the system that was set up not for Māori wasn't working for Māori, surprisingly, and that we knew that it wasn't so much an issue about vaccine hesitancy or being anti-vax. People wanted to know and have their questions addressed around the vaccine, and what better way to do it but be able to do it in their own communities, in their own homes, in their workplaces, with their peers, so that there's a bit of a collective responsibility, I guess, for getting the vaccine, which always helps.
Have people that you've been in contact with been curious and wanting to know more about the vaccine? There's a sort of trust us, we know what we're doing style here, but some of our people are curious to know how it works, what it is, and what they can expect. Have these sorts of questions been directed at you?
Oh, definitely. So in my clinic, I've been doing the phone consultations, and they might ring up about getting their regular medicine, but we end up spending the next 15, 20 minutes actually going through their anxieties and questions about COVID. And they're the things that you've just mentioned. How does it work? What are the side effects? Are there long-term impacts? Why did it become available so quickly when we know that other medicines and vaccines have taken much longer time to be developed and then have permission to be used? Is it okay for my children? Is it okay to have when I'm hapū or breastfeeding? And all of these things are really important questions, and they need time for people who the person will trust, who knows their context, who knows that they're not there trying to be anti-vax. They're genuinely interested in having these questions addressed and will do so for them without judgment.
Which is a question that was asked yesterday. I wasn't quite sure. What's the story with pregnant mamas?
Yeah, so we know that it is important for pregnant or hapū mamas to have the vaccine. Women, particularly in the final trimester, that last 3 months of their pregnancy, are at much increased risk for having complications from COVID. We know that the vaccine is safe, and we know that some of the antibodies that, so the vaccine itself doesn't cross the placenta to bubba, but the antibodies that the mum produces does seem to cross the placenta, which is a great thing. It means that bubba has a little bit of protection when they're born as well.
What about kids? I mean, they say 12 and up, but parents with 11-year-olds would think, well, hey, my kōtero, my little tama is vulnerable. Why has the decision been made to vaccinate only kids older than 12?
So the testing to date has only been in 12 and over, but we know that there are tests being done and research being done at the moment in those younger children. I think the next group of people that we may look at vaccinating here in Aotearoa, depending on what the results from these studies internationally show, are children 5 to 12. There is a little bit of, I guess, ethically, wanting to protect children's rights around the vaccine, because it will be up to their parents to provide permission for that. And I know that there are also questions being raised about whether you're reducing the risk to the individual, the child, versus any harm of that vaccine in children. But I think you're right, here in Aotearoa, because we have so many Māori and Pacific children, particularly living in in whānau, with whānau who do have chronic conditions, I think it would be something that I would certainly like to see here, come here, because I think it's not only going to protect the child, but protect the wider whānau as well. And it was one of the reasons my son, who's 15, wanted to get the vaccine. He said, it's not just about me, Mum, it's about protecting Nana, Koro, Granddad when I'm there visiting them, and I want to be able to spend time with them. So, that collective responsibility in looking after the whānau.
When COVID hit the streets, everyone was obviously concerned. Can you understand some of the anxiety regarding what the long-term effects of the vaccine might be, bearing in mind how quickly it was, A, discovered, then put together and then distributed?
I do understand that. I do understand, because, as you say, it's something new and it came so quickly. But at the same time, I think we have to acknowledge that technology is much more advanced than it was even 10 years ago. And we've got scientists and doctors and medical researchers who are doing everything in their power to try and protect us and keep us alive. I don't think, I want people to understand that this was done with love and people's well-being in mind. And so if you look at it from that perspective, I think that certainly helps. And I think, too, we need to also recognise that, yes, there may be long-term impacts from the vaccine, but we also know there are significant long-term impacts from having COVID, and people are still suffering, having had the infection 12, 15 months ago with memory loss, loss of energy, ongoing headaches, loss of smell, kidney issues. So, I think we need to look, balance those two things up and recognise that the vaccine is going to protect us from those long-term impacts as well.
Thanks, Martina. I noticed that one of our country's largest steel building product providers, Steel & Tube, they are paying a bonus to workers if they get fully vaccinated. These sorts of incentives seem sensible, and in the workplace, perhaps a strong way or a strong lead
to help people get it. Yes, I think you're right. I mean, we know that incentives like that have worked in some places. In Australia, children are more likely, and families are more likely to get access to funding if their children have been fully immunised, and that did seem to work for them. I would prefer, rather than financial incentives, that we're encouraging people and addressing all their concerns so that they're making a fully informed choice. I do understand, though, that in some places you would prefer to have people vaccinated, especially if you're in an enclosed working space, if you're an essential worker, border worker, and certainly for us in the health system, it was a no-brainer that we get vaccinated in the same way that we encourage all health staff to get vaccinated against things like hepatitis B and mumps. You know, we certainly wouldn't want to be taking out the staff or the workforce due to a preventable infectious disease.
Well, for now, we're all in the fight together. Mr. Whippy-type buses hitting the streets, businesses paying incentives, we wear masks, let's get vaccinated, and we'll get this job done. There's a real push on this week, and it's important that those in our whānau are supported to understand the vaccination scene better. Dr. Martiri Harwood with us today. All the best to you, Martiri. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
And you too, sister. Thank you.